Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. We left off on daf Kuf Chaf Amud Beis. We're going to first continue our discussion from yesterday about Gram Kibui and Gram Mechikas Hashem and the relationship between the two, answering the stira between the Rabbanan against the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Yossi. And then we're going to move on. The first major sugya of today's daf discusses how to handle a guy or a child who are about to extinguish a fire on Shabbos and our level of responsibility to stop them from doing so. The mission on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to give three cases where you're allowed to move a kli to cover something on Shabbos, and then the majority of Amud Beis deals with killing dangerous animals on Shabbos and tells several stories to illustrate the halachos of killing animals. And since one of those stories is about Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, is told by Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana about a psak of Rebbe, the daf concludes with three other halachic statements of Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana and relating to Rebbe and his household. But first we get back into what we were discussing yesterday, where we asked toward the end of the daf yesterday, V'rami d'Rabbanan ad'Rabbanan that Rabbi Yossi holds Gram Kibui is Aser, the Rabbanan hold Gram Kibui is Mutter. That was in our Mishnah, where Rabbi Yossi said that you're not allowed to fill brand new clay cheres with water and surround the fire with it, because that's automatically going to cause the kalim to break and put out the fire, and even though it's indirect, Gram Kibui is Aser. The Rabbanan hold that that's Mutter. You're allowed to do that. Gram Kibui is Mutter. But when it comes to indirectly erasing Hashem's name, they seem to hold the exact opposite. If a person has Hashem's name written on his skin and he needs to go to the mikvah, Rabbi Yossi is the one who says, let him go into the water, it's no problem, it's only gram mechikas Hashem. When he goes into the water, the shame Hashem will become erased indirectly, and that's totally fine. The Rabbanan, however, say you have to be korichal of gemi, you have to put a reed over the shame Hashem so as not to erase it even indirectly. That's the Rabbanan who say like that, but so it's a stira both in Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. So we got up to yesterday answering the stira in Rabbi Yossi. We pointed out toward the end of the daf yesterday that the stira in Rabbi Yossi is not a stira. The reason why he's machmir by gram kibui and mekel by gram mechikas Hashem is that really grama generally is mutter, but mitoch shadam baal al mamono isharis le asi lichbuye. Rabbi Yossi really holds indirectly extinguishing and erasing Hashem's name are both mutter, but he wouldn't allow indirectly extinguishing because he was afraid if we allow that, then somebody over his anxiety for losing all that money of what the fire could take away from him will extinguish directly, meaning once you give him a little bit, once you give him an inch, he's going to take a foot. So you tell him that he could do gram kibui, he'll end up doing kibui mamish in a direct way, and that's why Rabbi Yossi says midrabbanan, we're not going to allow him to put the barrels full of water around the fire in order to stop the fire. That's how we answered Shitas Rabbi Yossi. We still have a stir in the Rabbanan, though. The Rabbanan are the ones that held that Gram Kibui is Mutter, yet when it comes to Mechikas Hashem, they say you have to cover the Shem Hashem before you go to the mikvah. You need to be Korichal of Gemi. You need to cover the Shem Hashem with something so that it doesn't get erased. So what's the answer for the Rabbanan? So the answer is the Gemara. I think we left off Ihachi kasha drabanan adrabanan, about 7 lines before the end of the page. Ihachi kasha drabanan adrabanan. So if we're going to say that the answer to the stira in Rabbi Yossi is that that really it's all mutter, we're just extra machmir by Shabbos because we're afraid he's going to extinguish the flame directly, well then the stira in the Rabbanan is an even bigger kasha. Uma hasam dadam ba'olam mamono shari, in a case where there's reason to be concerned that a guy is going to be nervous about losing his money, like by Shabbos, and we're still going to allow Gram Kibui Hachalo Kolshkein. So by Mechikas Hashem, for sure we should allow Gram Mechikas Hashem. So says Gemara, V'tizbra Hai Gemi Hechidami. Gemara says, well, wait a second. How does the sheet of the Rabbanan make any sense even? What do they say you're supposed to do if you have to go to the mikveh and you have Shem Hashem written on your skin? Put a gemi, put a reed around it. How does that help? Idem Hadek Kavi Chatzitza. If you tie the reed really tightly on your skin, well, then that's going to be a chatzitza. Daniel Hirschberg asked this yesterday. Then it's going to be a chatzitza, right? It's going to be a problem that you're not going to that the water is not going to get into that area, and it's going to invalidate the tevila. So iloma hadik aili beimaya. And if you don't put it on really tightly, well, then it's not going to do anything. Water's going to get in there, and you're still going to be erasing the Shem Hashem. So either it will be ineffective, or it will ruin the entire tevila to begin with. So what's the point? So chatzitza typically mishum diyo. go. So it says, well, wait a second, if we're worried about a chatzitza, forget about the gemi. Don't you have a chatzitza anyway? Because the ink itself is a chatzitza on your skin. So shouldn't the ink be a chatzitza? Answers the Gemara, belacha. No, if the ink is still wet, it's not a chatzitza. Then it's considered like part of the water. So if it's still moist, then it's not a chatzitza. Only if the ink has dried would it become a chatzitza. Now, if it's beneath the surface of the skin, then it also wouldn't be a chatzitza. If a person, let's say, has a tattoo, you're not allowed to get a tattoo, it's a nisa d'oraisa. But if a person has a tattoo, let's say from they weren't always religious or they weren't always Jewish, and they have a tattoo from before, so there's no requirement to have it removed, as far as I know. There's no milchas yitzchak, because an interesting tshuva about a guy who was a bal tshuva who had a tattoo of completely inappropriate type of picture on his left bicep, and it was difficult putting on tefillin to look at that picture every morning when he became bal tshuva and he wanted to put on tefillin. So it's probably recommended that he remove it. But otherwise, there's no chiyuv to remove a tattoo. So if a person has a tattoo, it's certainly not a chatitza in tefila, because that's beneath the surface of the skin. But if you have dry ink above the surface of the skin, that's certainly a chatzitza. So the Gemara said, no, we're talking about moist ink, and if it's still moist, the ink itself is not going to be a chatzitza. Detanya, because we have a braisa. Adam, vadio, vadvash, hadvash, vachalav, yveshin, chotzin, lachamin, chotzin. All these sorts of liquids. If they are dry, they are a chatzitza in going to the mikvah. If they're moist, they're not a chatzitza. But bottom line, nikol makom kasha. We still have an answer, akasha. How does the shita of the Rabbanu make any sense? You're putting this gemi over the Shem Hashem. For what? If you put it on tightly, it's going to be a chatzitza. If you put it on loosely, it's not accomplishing anything. Elo amar Rava bar Rav Shila, haynu tamayad Rabbanan. That we misunderstood the Rabbanan. The reason the Rabbanan say you should put this gemi over the Shem Hashem has nothing to do with mechikas Hashem. We're not afraid about mechikas Hashem. Gram mechikas Hashem is mutter. Just like gram kibui is mutter. The reason you put this gemi on is for a completely different reason. The kasavri asur lama b'fnei Hashem arum. If it's a Shem Hashem written on your skin, you're not allowed to stand naked in front of the Shem Hashem. So you have to cover the Shem Hashem so that you won't be Arum in front of it. Wait a second. Then why does Rabbi Yossi let you just go to the mikvah like that without putting the gemi on? Now we made sense of the Shita of the Rabbanan, but once we brought up this other halachic concern, we have to figure out what's Rabbi Yossi going to do with this halachic concern. How does Rabbi Yossi say that it's mutter to stand in front of the Shem Hashem Arum? So answer Gemara, no, Rabbi Yossi would say, you put your hand over the Shem Hashem and you cover it that way. So Rabbi Yossi, of course, would agree that you're not allowed to be stand Arum in front of a Shem Hashem, but he says that you put your hand over it and you cover it, and that solves the problem of being Omid Arum in front of it. So ask the Gemara, the Rabbanan, Ami d'manach yadei lavei. So why did the Rabbanan make you tie a reed around it? Shouldn't the Rabbanan just tell you, put your hand over it to cover it? Sometimes it could happen that you'll forget and you'll remove your hand from that area, so the Rabbanan say, we don't trust that you can cover it with your hand. It's much better to put a bandage on it so that it will be covered in that way. So the Rabbi Yossi Nami Zimnin de Mishnah Vishalakle. Well, why isn't Rabbi Yossi worried about the same thing? Why isn't Rabbi Yossi worried that you might forget and remove your hand? Now everyone would agree, if there is a reed readily available to you, you should use it to cover up the Shem Hashem and go to the mikvah. Put it on loosely so that it won't be a chatzitza. Let the water go in. We're not worried about gram mechikas Hashem. That's perfectly fine. Everyone agrees that's what you should do. Hacha b'mayaskin, and over here the machlokas Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan, by putting the reed on, whether you should or should not put a reed on, is la hadure agemi. Is if you don't have a reed readily available to you, how much should you delay your tevila while you go look for a reed? Is it important enough? Is it an important enough part of the tevila that you should delay the tevila and not do it until you have a reed? Rabbanan savri tevila b'zmana lav mitzvah umahadrinan. The Rabbanan hold, well, tevila b'zmana is not a mitzvah. There's no requirement to do tevila at the earliest possible time, and therefore you can spend time looking for the reed even if it takes a day or two, and you'll do the tevila tevila whenever you find one. Rabbi Yossi savar tevila bizmana mitzvah veloma hadrinan. Rabbi Yossi holds tevila bizmana is a mitzvah, and therefore we don't go around looking for a reed. We don't want to waste the time looking for a reed. This is a major machlokas. Tevila bizmana mitzvah, tevila bizmana lav mitzvah. When let's say you have a woman who a needa nowadays, does she have to go to the mikveh at the earliest possible time? So the poskim all recommend, certainly if her husband's in town, it's bad for shalom bayis if she doesn't go out the earliest possible time. Let's say her husband's out of town, he's away for the next 2 weeks, and her lel tevila comes. Does she have a requirement to go dafka on the lel tevila? If you hold tevila bizmana mitzvah, it has nothing to do with the husband. It's tevila bizmana. Tevila bizmana is a mitzvah. If you hold tevila bizmana lav mitzvah, then she could wait till the night before her husband comes home, or the night that her husband comes home, and go to the mikveh then. So we hold the gabe bala tevila bizmana mitzvah when it comes to the husband for shalom bayis purposes. So that's, she should do the tevila bizman. But really, tevila bizmana is lav mitzvah. Another nafkamina would be, let's say a woman's lel tevila comes up on Tisha B'Av or Yom HaKippurim. So would she go to the mikvah? There's an isr tashmish on those nights. It's one of the chamesh inuyim, so she can't have tashmish anyway. So is it still worthwhile to go to the mikvah? So we know those are the two nights of the every year. I get a phone call on Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur. A woman calls and says, my lel tefila comes out that night. What am I supposed to do? Say, you could go to the mikvah. No one will open the door for you. It's going to be locked. Those are the two nights of the year that the mikvah is locked. They don't. There is no tefila on those nights of the year. Kedai hu churban beis elokeinu. Labir of alav. The Gemara says that churban beis elokeinu is important enough that we could lose one night of tefila because of it. So that if tefila bizmana were really mitzvah, if we were to pass in that way, then you would have to go to the mikvah even on those nights. But anyway, that's the machlokas Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan over here. Whether tevila bizmana is mitzvah or lav mitzvah. So, frak the Gemara v'savar Rabbi Yossi tevila bizmana mitzvah. Does Rabbi Yossi really hold tevila bizmana mitzvah? V'atayni, we have a brayse hazava mitzorva mitzoras. Boel nida v'tamei meis tevilas and b'yom. All of these different types of tuma, the tevila should be done during the day. The zman of the tevila is during the day. Nida v'yoledes tevilas and b'layla. A nida in yoledes, the real zman of the tevila, is at night. Balkeri tovel v'holich kol yom kulo, and a balkeri could be tovel the entire day. Rabbi Yossi yomer min a mincha ulamala eino yachol litpol, and Rabbi Yossi says from mincha time and on he's not able to be tovel. If he sees keri after he daven mincha, then he should just wait. He shouldn't be tovel. He should wait until it gets dark and then be tovel and daven mariv afterwards. And Rashi points out tefilas ni'ila nami svir leisha yachol espalul b'layla, and he holds tefilas ni'ila he could do at nighttime also. But bottom line is, don't you see from here that Rabbi Yossi holds tefila bizmana is lav mitzvah? Because if it were mitzvah, you shouldn't be able to wait till nighttime. Don't wait. You got to do the tefila as early as you possibly can. Why are we telling him to wait till nighttime? And Sugmara, he Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehudi damer daya tefila ba'achrona. That's assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Yossi. Meaning Rabbi Yossi stam is holds tefila bizmana is mitzvah. The sheet of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is that it's not mitzvah. Is that daya tefila ba'achrona? Daya tefila ba'achrona is a phrase that we use in a completely in a context of someone who's not really sure of their tumah status and not really sure when they can get out of the tumah, and they have multiple possibilities of when their tumah might really, when they might be eligible for tevila. So the sheet of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is, don't go to the mikvah at each possible time where you might be eligible for tevila, because we're not going to declare you tar anyway until the last possible one. So just wait till the end and then daya tevila b'achrona. If you held tevila b'zmana mitzvah, you'd have to go to the mikvah each time. Let's say a person knew that she was a nida, she had no idea which day it started, which day her main nida started. So she knows after 7 days she's eligible to go to the mikvah, but she has no idea when the 7 days are over. It might be tonight or it might be in 7 nights from now. So if you held tevila bizmana mitzvah, she'd have to go to the mikvah every night for the next 7 nights, because one of those is the right zman. But if you held tevila bizmana lav mitzvah, we're not going to declare you tar anyway until after the 7 days. So just go to the mikvah at the end. So that's what we say, tevila bizmana is lav mitzvah. Also, if we held tevila bizmana mitzvah, and we really held that women had a status of a zava gadola, which we're machmir to treat women with the status of a zava gadola nowadays, not just a nida, and therefore she requires shiva nikiyim. The halacha is that a zava, goes to the mikveh during the day, as our Gemara points out. A Zava does not go to the mikveh at nighttime. Waiting till nighttime is beyond the regular tvila bizmana. But the halacha is that a woman can't go to the Shulchan Aruch, says a woman can't go to the mikveh during the day. Mishum srach bita, that that's why she can't go during the day, even on the eighth day. A woman can't go to the mikveh during the day because we're choshesh that what might happen, she'll go during the day, and then she'll see dam again later that day, and it will actually be soser everything, because even though Zav is allowed to go to the mikveh during the day, if she sees dam later that day, it's not that she has a new tumma mikanu laba, it actually makes, it's megala that she's tamil mafreya the entire time. So if she were to go to the mikveh at 11 o'clock in the morning, sleep with her husband an hour later, and then see dam an hour later, so it would turn out that her husband was baal nida, would be a terrible thing. So we just wait till nighttime, where any dam that she's going to see going forward by nighttime is only going to be on a new cheshbon, is not going to be metameher lemafreya. We don't even allow a woman to go to the mikveh during the day on the following day, on the eighth day of the tefillah. That's mishum srach bita, because we're afraid a girl is going to see that her mother went to the mikveh during the daytime, and she's going to think that it was the seventh day, and she's going to learn. That's how girls used to learn, by watching what their mothers do. They didn't have schooling for girls. They learned by watching what their mothers do. And it's still, to a great extent, children learn by watching their parents. So we're afraid that she's going to, mishum srach bita, that the daughter is going to get confused. One or two little ha'aros over here. The Gemara had said that, according to Rabbi Yossi, if you don't have a gemi available to you and you have Shem Hashem written on your skin, so you can't get naked in front of Shem Hashem, so if you have to go to the mikveh, you cover the Shem Hashem with your hand. You put your hand over it. Is the hand a proper covering for the body? I mean, does that count as a covering for something? Over here, it sounds like kisui yad is kisui, that it does count as a proper covering. The Trumas Adeshin in Simen Yud, and this is quoted in the Ramah, in Aruch Chaim, Simen Samach Beis, discusses, we know there's Allah in Allah to make a bracha, begila rosh. You have to wear a yarmulke. So, well, let's say you don't have a yarmulke. Can you put your hand on your head as a yarmulke? Trumas Adeshin says, absolutely not. That you put your ein hayad, ein haguf mechasas atzmo, the body cannot cover itself, and therefore you cannot use your hand to cover your head. However, the poskim point out that there's a big difference between our Gemara and that case. In that case, you're using your body to cover your body. Over here, you're not using your hand to cover your body, you're using your hand to cover the ink that's on your skin, the Shem Hashem, that's ink, that's not your body, you're using it to cover something that's not part of your body. So that's why it's mutter in that case. Also on the topic of gram mechikas Hashem, so it seems that the Gemara had said asiyu da asur gram ashari, and in the end of the day we said it's not even a machlokas that everyone holds gram mechikas Hashem, indirectly being mochik the Shem Hashem is mutter, but and the whole problem over here is just the omed arum in front of the Shem Hashem. The Nodav Yehuda writes in a tshuva in Madura Tinyan or Chaim Simin Yud Zayin that nevertheless the grama is not mutter unless it's L'tzorach mitzvah. Gram mechikas Hashem, when we say in our Gemara that it's mutter, doesn't mean that you can go around being gore mechikas Hashem without any cause for it. Over here, the case was you had to go to the mikveh. You had a mitzvah that you needed to do, and the only way to do that mitzvah is by allowing mechikas Hashem to happen. So, in a case where you need to do a mitzvah, we're going to allow gram mechikas Hashem. But otherwise, mishum bizayon Hashem. Forget about mechikas Hashem. Maybe it's not mechikas Hashem, but it's a bizayon Hashem to be gorei mechikas Hashem when there's no real reason for it. And that's why the Nodav Yehuda says the Gemara Megillah Daf Chaf Vav Amud Beis tells us that a sefer Torah shabala masimin osa bekli cheres vigonzen osa bekever tamid chachamim. That if you have a sefer Torah that's worn out, you put it in the kli cheres and you put it in a cemetery with tamid chachamim. From the fact that you need a kli cheres, so why do you need a kli cheres? Why can't you just bury it straight, let the dirt do whatever it does to it, over time it will erase it, but that's grumma, that's slow, it's over time and it's indirect, why isn't that okay? No, you need to protect it in a kli cheres, because even gram mechikas Hashem apparently is aser. Why? Our Gemara says gram mechikas Hashem is mutter. Elamai, there's no reason over there to do the gram mechikas Hashem, there's no tzoruch mitzvah to do the gram mechikas Hashem, so you might as well cover it with a kli cheres. That's how the Nodav Yehuda says. Not all poskim agree with the Nodav Yehuda. The Chassam Sofer just takes it as davar pashut, that gram mechikas Hashem is always mutter, that it's stam, heter gomer, to do gram mechikas Hashem. Okay, so it says a new Mishnah now. We're at the Mishnah on Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Nachri If a guy comes to put out a fire on Shabbos, you don't tell him one way or the other. Don't egg him on and say, yeah, put it out, nor do you have to stop him. You can let him do his thing. It's not your problem whether he observes Shabbos or not. So you just, whether he's a guy, you don't have to make sure that he doesn't do malacha on Shabbos, so let him do whatever he does. But if a Jewish child comes to put out a fire, you have to stop him, because shvisaso alein, you do have to make sure that he does observe Shabbos. That is our responsibility when it comes to a katan. So let's take one at a time. The guy, what does Rashi say? Einum lo kaveh, you're not allowed to tell him put out the fire. Rabbanon gozer al amir lenachri mishum shvus. That the Rabbanon goes there, that Amir La'akum is usher midrabbanon. So shvus midrabbanon to ask a guy to do something for you on Shabbos. So that's why you're not allowed to tell him to put out a fire. Why? Why did the Rabbanon make this gezera of Amir La'akum? So tomorrow's daf is largely about Amir La'akum, but I'm not here tomorrow, so let's discuss a little bit now. Where does Amir La'akum come from? There are three basic shitos in Rishon. There's one wild card shita in Rishon Sefer Trumas, I think it is, that holds that it's Da'oraisa, but that's generally not the accepted opinion. Except the opinion is Drabbanan. Question is why? Where does the Drabbanan come from? So three basic shitos in Rishonim. Shitos are Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Vav Halacha Aleph. Asur lomar l'goy lasos lanu malacha b'Shabbos afal pishen mitzuvah al Shabbos. Even though the guy doesn't have to keep Shabbos, not only is he not allowed to keep Shabbos, still you can't ask a guy to do something. V'afal pishar malo mikodem haShabbos. Even if you asked him before Shabbos to do it for you, v'afal pishen mitzarech lasos lanu malacha lachar haShabbos. And even if you don't need to benefit from that malacha until after Shabbos, why? V'davar zeh asur midivrei sofrim kidei shaloti haShabbos kala be'enein v'yavo lasos b'at. Says the Rambam, it's just going to make Shabbos, it's going to cause Shabbos to be taken lightly. If you're going to think that you could do every malacha by just asking a guy to do the malacha for you, so that's going to cause you to take Shabbos lightly, and it makes no difference whether you ask him before Shabbos, you ask him on Shabbos, you're going to end up taking Shabbos too lightly. That's why the Rambam says you're not even allowed to ask him on Shabbos to do a malacha after Shabbos, do a malacha the next day. You just shouldn't be involved. That's why the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam only quotes the Isser of not to ask him before Shabbos to do malacha for you on Shabbos. Why doesn't the Rambam quote the Isser, don't ask him on Shabbos to do malacha for you Sunday? Because according to the Rambam, it's not about the asking. It's about the malacha being done. That when you can get malacha done on Shabbos, you're going to take malacha lightly and you're going to end up doing malacha by yourself. So it would be mutter according to the Rambam. That's how the Chuvus HaRadvaz explains in Tavresh Pei Dalet. According to the Rambam, it would be mutter to ask him on Shabbos to do malacha for you after Shabbos. Second shita is the shita of Rashi. Rashi in Avodah Zarah Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph writes, "Umasha also Yisrael lomer lo vikchav masei likach zeu mishum im tzochef tzochav v'daber davar dibur aser." That there are certain types of speech that you're not allowed to even speak on Shabbos. Not only you're not allowed to do malacha, you're not allowed to speak about certain things. The Gemara later on, Daf Kufin Aleph, is going to discuss what about hirhur? Can you think about business? Can you think about non-Shabbos related things? So the Gemara will say, dibur aser, hirhur mutter. But dibur is aser. Speaking about malacha is aser. So what does it mean, speaking about malacha? Speaking by telling a guy, do a malacha for me, that's aser to do on Shabbos. So that's the shita of Rashi, that it's an issue of Dabar Dabar. Now, according to Rashi, if you did the speaking before Shabbos, you asked him before Shabbos, do the malacha for me on Shabbos, that should be mutter. The Rambam held that was us. According to Rashi, that should be mutter. On the other hand, according to Rashi, if I ask the guy on Shabbos to do a malacha for me on Sunday, to do a malacha for me after Shabbos, the Rambam held that was mutter, because there's no malacha being done on Shabbos. According to Rashi, it's usher, because the whole din is a din in the dibur. It's all a din in the speech. Then the third approach in Rishonim is Rashi and Shabbos Daf Kufnun Gimel, and Avodah Zarah Daf Chav Beis, and the Chiddush Eran and Shabbos Kufnun Aleph, the Mordechai, many others, who say that it's a din in shlichus. Generally speaking, we have a concept of shlichus shlodim kamoso. If a person's shliach does something, at your request. It's as if you did the melacha yourself, and that usually applies only with a Jew and a Jew. When you ask a goy, is a lav bar shlichus. But l'chumra, we make the goy a bar shlichus. L'chumra, for Amir La'aklum, it's as if the goy is the shliach of the Jew. So when he does the melacha, it's as if you're doing the melacha. That also would make it a melacha-based iser, not a dibor-based iser, which would mean that if you're asking him to do something after Shabbos, that would be mutter, but before Shabbos, do on Shabbos, that would be aser. So those are the basic nafkaminas and the basic three shitos of Amir La'akum. So that's the iser when it comes to a goy. What about, well, you're extinguishing a fire over here. Usually when you're extinguishing a fire, it's melach shein tzrich l'gufa. You're not trying to make coals. That's the melach tzrich l'gufa. That's why they did it in the Mishkan, to make coals. Usually you just don't want a fire. You don't want to burn your house down, or you don't want to burn whatever's burning. So you want to put out the fire. So melach shein tzrich l'gufa is only nisid rabbanon. So is it mutter to ask a guy to put out a fire since melach shein tzrich l'gufa shvus to shvus? Says Tosos, enom lo kavei, afil b'yisurid rabbanon amir l'nachri shvus. You're not even allowed to ask a guy to do an iser derabanan. A lot of times people make a mistake. They think, oh, shvus to shvus is always mutter. No, shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah is mutter. Shvus to shvus b'makom tzorach gadol is mutter. Stam shvus to shvus to ask a guy to do an iser derabanan when there's no mitzvah, there's no chola, there's no nothing. So it's not mutter. It's also going to be aser. You see clearly over here, the pashtus is, we're not talking about a fire that is going to make coals. So, okay, so that's our mission. But a katan you do have to worry about. Says the Gemara, by a fire, we allow a person to say that anyone who's mechabe is not mafsid. Anyone who wants to put it out is not going to lose from putting it out. So you're not telling him that I'm going to pay you. You're not telling him explicitly that he should do it. But if he chooses to do it, the guy chooses to do it, so then he can. So the Shulchan Aruch says, can you do this by other malachas also? Can you tell a guy, you know, if you were to turn off the light in this room, you wouldn't lose from turning on the light in this room or off the light in this room. Is that a valid way of hinting in Amir La'akum? So the halacha is no, you're not allowed to do that in Amir La'akum. You're not allowed to mention the malacha in Amir La'akum. That's not called remiza. That's what we call remiza b'derech tzivui. That's aser to do. You're not allowed to mention the malacha that you want done. It's dafka by putting out a fire where we're afraid that a person is going to put out the fire himself because of the hefsid that he's suffering as a result of the fire. That's where we're makel to say kol mechabe no mafsid. It doesn't apply. That's Shulchan Aruch writes in Sim Shin Lamadal Tziv Chavav. So it says our name Masayele Nachrish Balichos Einam Lo Kavei VeAltichbe Mipnei She'in Shvisas Aleihen. We have a raya from our Mishnah. If a guy is putting out a fire, we don't tell him put it out. We don't tell him don't put it out because it's not your responsibility to see to it that the guy keeps Shabbos. Kaveihu Dula Amrin Alei Hakol Mechabe No Mafsid Amir Alei. You can't tell him to put it out, but you can say anyone who puts it out won't lose. So you see, it's a raya from our Mishnah like that shita of Rabbi Ami. So says Gemara Ema Seifa, well, wait a second, you could be medayik the opposite from the Seifa of our Mishnah. It says, what are you not allowed to say to the guy? What do you not have to say to the guy? Al techabel lo amrin alei. You don't have to tell him not to put it out. But that makes it sound like you don't have to tell him not to put it out, but you shouldn't give him any hints that he should put it out either. You shouldn't even mention kol mechabe no mafsid. So that's the second part of our Mishnah seems to be a raya against Rabbi Ami. So it must be that we have no raya from our Mishnah one way or the other. You can't prove anything conclusively from our Mishnah. Says Tosfos, yeah, you can't prove anything conclusively, but we call Malkom Kaimel and Rabbi Ami. But we still paskin like Rabbi Ami, even though it's not provable. Tan Rabbanan, Maisu v'nafal v'deikub l'chaser shal Yosef ben Simai b'shichin. One time a fire broke out in the chaser of Yosef ben Simai in Shichin. Ubo anche gisra shal tzipare lichbos m'mrei shapetrobe shal melechaya. Because Yosef ben Simai was a very important guy politically, so the fire department came and they heard about the fire. They came to put it out. So v'loi nichan m'mrei kavod Shabbos, but he wouldn't let them do it because of kavod Shabbos. He said, no, don't put it out for kavod Shabbos. He didn't want them to put out the fire, even though halachically it was mutter. You don't have to tell them not to do it. V'nasalo neis v'yardu gesham v'kivu, and neis happened and rain came and put out the fire. La'erev shigur l'kalechem and shtei salon l'parchus ben chamishim, and he paid the fire department for their services anyway. After Shabbos, they went through the trouble of coming, and they wanted to help him, so he did right by them. He went and he paid them for it, even though they didn't actually provide the service. U'kishashamu chacham bedavar amru lo'ay yitzarich l'kach. When the chacham heard this whole story, they said, you know, you didn't really have to do that. You know, you could have let them put out the fire, because if a guy comes on his own, you didn't ask him to come, You don't have to tell him to, you can't tell him to put it out, but you don't have to tell him not to put it out. So it was a midas chasidus that he did. Or maybe you didn't know. But if it's a child that's about to extinguish a fire, then you have to stop him, because shvisas alein, you can't let the child violate Shabbos. Says Gemara, this should solve, this should be a raya in a machlokas that we have in Maseches Yevamos. There's a machlokas in Maseches Yevamos. Let's say you see a child eating nevelos. Do you have to stop him? Is it Bezim's responsibility to stop him from eating nevelos? And you say, he's a kid, he's a lot. What difference does it make? Let him do it. So don't you see from our Mishnah that we do have a responsibility to stop him from doing averos? No, maybe the case is, in our case, where the child's putting out the fire, is the katan sees his father's favorite sefer is about to burn. So the katan goes and he's about to put out the fire, and he sees that his father is very pleased with it. He sees that it's, so he's doing it for his father. He's doing it because he thinks that's what pleases his father. It's not because he stopped playing with a toy and being Mechal Shabbos for his own sake. If he's doing it for his own sake, that's the Machlokas in Yevamos. Do you have to stop him? Do you not have to stop him? But when he's doing it al das aviv, as Rashi points out over here, that bekatan sheyoda lahavchin shakiboy zen noach la'aviv osa bishvilo, he realizes his father wants this kiboy, and he's doing it for his father, that's where you got to stop him. You have to tell him, no, I don't want it, I don't want you to put it out, not for me. Israel, Mishari. Well, wait a second. Well, then, if the guy is doing it for you, is that permissible? You're allowed to let him do it for you. So says Gemara, yeah. Nachri l'dayte d'nafshei avid. The guy always does it for himself, even if he knows you're happy with it. He's doing it for his own benefit in the long run. So since he's doing it for his own benefit in the long run, you don't have to stop the nachri. What kind of katan are we talking about over here? We're talking about a katan sheyigia l'chinuch, shelo yigia l'chinuch. So if you look at Tosa, Shramina katan ochel nevelos, beizim etzuvin lav lafrishot, sarach lomer demukim asnisuk Rabbi Yehuda. And he says, first of all, the extinguishing of the flame that we must be talking about over here has to be an Issur D'Oraisa. It can't be just an Issur D'Rabbanan. How could it be an Issur D'Oraisa? Either you hold Melech Shein Shricha L'Gufa Yer Chayiv, like Rabbi Yehuda, or the case is where they're putting out a flame to make coals, which is Melech Shricha L'Gufa, and you assume even like Rabbi Shimon. To be Issur D'Rabbanan Muchach Percherish De'ein Bezim Mitzuvan La'af. Because it's clear in the Gemara in Yevamos that if a child is doing an Issur D'Rabbanan on his own, you do not have to stop him. That's not even a machlokes. You don't have to stop him if he's doing an Issur D'Rabbanan on his own. V'nira d'mayri b'katan shelo igia l'chinuch. And also, he says, we're talking about a katan who's not igia l'chinuch. Because to be igia l'chinuch, kibin shechayv l'chancho, kolshkein d'sarach l'afrisho shelo yasa avera. If he's igia l'chinuch, if you have to be mechanechim to do mitzvos, you have to be mechanechim not to do averos, certainly when he's about to do an avera, you have to stop him from doing an Avera. That's part of Chinuch. So it must be that we're talking about a child before the age of Chinuch. This is a separate issue of Bezim Mitzuvah Nafrisho or not Mitzuvah Nafrisho. And this issue only applies to Yisurim Daraisa. Chinuch would apply even to Drabanans, right? Chinuch would apply when a child is at the age of Chinuch. You have to be Mechanichim in Dinim Drabanan as well. Okay, says the Mishnah, Kofen Kara al Gavi Aner B'Shul Shal Tochus B'Kura, that you should turn a plate upside down over a candle so that the fire doesn't latch on to the beams of the house and burn the house down. Val Tzoa Shal Katan Val Akrav Shalot Tishach, you're allowed to take a kli and put it over the Tzoa of a child or over an Akrav so that it shouldn't bite, a scorpion, that it shouldn't bite a person on Shabbos. Amar Yehuda Maisa. Such a story happened where there was an akrav and they wanted to put a kli over it to stop it from biting, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, "I'm choshesh mechatas. I think that this might be an isur d'oraisa. Arev, it's not erev. It's arev, the name of a place." Rashi says it doesn't mean in the evening, and he says choshashni lo mechatas. So says Rashi, "Kiven lo haya akrav rotzachrav ein yodeim chayv mishum seidem lav." He says, "I don't know if the scorpion was chasing me and I'm just trying to stop it from biting me, that's a constant flash anyway, then I'm allowed to do that. But it's not chasing me, it's not after me, so then it may be an Isra of Tzeda, so that's why he didn't want to cover it with a kli." Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Rabbi Chanan bar Rava, Yiklu l'bei oven, d'minishikaya. Story tells us that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba and Rabbi Chanan bar Rava, three rabbis, went to oven d'minishikaya. The Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Aisulei Puryasa. So for two of the rabbis, he brought a special nice bed for them to sit on. L'Rav Chanan Barava lo Aisulei. He must have not realized Rav Chanan Barava was the Talmud Chacham. He wasn't Mechabit him. He didn't go and bring him this special nice bed. Ashkei Masulei Lebrei Valtzor Shal Katan Nekatan. He found that he was telling his, that then they were listening to this, to the host teaching his child the Mishnah. The host was learning with his child, and he told the child that Altzor Shal Katan Mipnei Katan, that you can take a kli to cover tzoa of a katan, so that the katan doesn't mess himself up and get dirty by playing with it. So Amalei Avin Shatya Masni Shtusa Levnei. So because Rav Chanan Bar Rava was insulted that he wasn't brought a bed, he decided that he was gonna attack. So he said, "Yeah, this host Avin is a moron who's teaching stupidity to his child. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Valohi Atzma Mukhanis Leklavim. Why would you need to take a kli to cover up tzoa of a human tzoa so that a child doesn't play with it? You know what you could do? You could just get rid of the tzoa. Take the tzoa and get it and move it. It's not mukta. It's mukhanis leklavim. Dogs would use it. So therefore, it wouldn't be a mukta problem. V'chi teimet l'chazi l'me'etmel. No, lest you'll say, but it just came into the world. It's no lad on Shabbos, so it's mukta for that reason, because it didn't exist yesterday. This is fresh tzoa. V'atanya, but we have a brisa. Naharos ha'moshkin mayonos ha'novin harein karagli kaladam. Water that flows in a river. It wasn't here yesterday, but it's not mukta either. It's karagli kaladam. It has the status of something that was here. Rashi points out, afal gav d'me'etmel lo avi hani kaman. Even though yesterday it wasn't in front of us, since it's normal for it to continue to flow and to be here, your das was before Shabbos that this would be here. The same with tzoa. It's normal for a person to go to the bathroom, so your das was before Shabbos that there's going to be tzoa tomorrow that there wasn't there today. So then how do you explain our Mishnah then? Why is it that you're allowed to take a kli to cover tzoa shel katan? What's the case where you can't just move the tzoa itself? So ema al tzoa shel Tarnagolim ipnei katan. The Mishnah didn't say it's tzoa of a katan. You're allowed to cover tzoa with a kli because of a katan, but not human tzoa. Tzoa of a tarnagol, that's muktzah, that's not roi for a kelev. That you're allowed to cover so that the katan doesn't play with it. Says the Gemara, anyway, shouldn't you be allowed to move the tzoa? V'tebeklei David graf shel rei. Shouldn't it be not muktzah because it's graf shel rei? The halacha is that if you have something disgusting, you have a toilet bowl that's dirty in your house, and you know, and it's in your living quarters. You don't want to; it cramps your style a little bit to have that around. You're allowed to move that. That's why we're allowed to take out the garbage on Shabbos. Why isn't the garbage muktzah? The bones and whatever else in the garbage, it should be muktzah. We're totally not using it anymore in Shabbos, but it's graf shel rei. It's something that's disgusting, and therefore you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. You're allowed to get it out of your living quarters on Shabbos. So why do you need to take a kli to cover the tzoa? Can't you just move the tzoa? Graf shel rei agav mana in ihu gufei lo. And if you're going to say that when you're dealing with graf shel rei, you're only allowed to move it in a kli, but you're not allowed to move it directly, and that's why you can't move the tzoa. Vahu achbar dishtachlich bisparmaki de Ravashi. There was a mouse that was found amongst the spices of Ravashi. Vamalu nukuti b'tzutzise vavkua. And Ravashi said, it's okay, pick it up by its tail and get rid of it. So apparently you are allowed to move something disgusting directly by lifting it without any kli being carried. So answers the Gemara, ba'ashpa. Now the case over here was that the tzoa is in the ashpa already. It's in the area where you throw all the garbage dump. It's where you throw all the garbage, so that you don't have a heter graf shel rei. You can't move garbage out of that. That's not your living quarters. So, but you're still worried the child, it's darko shel tinok, to play around in the garbage. That's where the children play. So you don't want the child to mess himself up with the tzoa of the tarnagol. So that's what our Mishnah says. You're allowed to take a kli and cover up the tzoa of a tarnagol. Now since our... So it says Gemara, b'chatan b'ashpa my bailei. What's the chatan doing in the ashpa? B'chatzer, it's the ashpa shebechatzer. It's the dumpy area of the chatzer. Chatanami graf shel rehu. Well, if it's in the chatzer, it's in the chatzer, not in the ashpa. So it says Gemara, but the chatzer, then it should be graf shel rehu. Chatzer is the living space. Ba'ashpa shebechatzer. The Gemara's conclusion is, no, we're dealing with the ashpa area of the chatzer, the dumpster in the chatzer. Val akrav shelo tishach. The Mishnah said that you're allowed to take a kli to cover over an akrav of a scorpion that it shouldn't bite you. Amr Rabbi Shimon Levi, kol mazikin na'ragin b'Shabbos. All mazikin can be killed on Shabbos. You're allowed to kill anything that's threatening you to damage you, to kill you on Shabbos. Masav Rav Yosef, chamisha na'ragin b'Shabbos. There are five animals that can be killed on Shabbos. Ve'eluhen, and they are the following animals. Zvuv shabaretz mitzrayim v'tzira shabinin ve'va akrav shabichadyav v'nacha shabaretz sol v'kelv shota b'kol makom. Various creatures that we specify that you're allowed to kill on Shabbos. So Rabbi Shimon Levi said you're allowed to kill any dangerous creature on Shabbos. So we have a brisa that only permits killing five specific creatures on Shabbos. So money. Ilema Rabbi Yehuda hamlach shein sricha l'gufa chayev aleha. If we're assuming like Rabbi Yehuda, so then it's a mlach shein sricha l'gufa, you should be chayev for it. El lav Rabbi Shimon. So it must be that we're assuming like Rabbi Shimon. V'hani u'dashari achrini lo. And still, you're only allowed to kill these five and not others. Isn't that against Rabbi Shimon Levi, who said you're allowed to kill any dangerous creature on Shabbos? Who told you that this brisa is an authoritative brisa? Maybe this brisa is a brisa mishabeshta. Maybe it's a mistaken brisa. And Rabbi Shimon Levi is correct. He said, no, I taught this brisa. I know this brisa, and I'll explain it to you. I'll answer it to you. Rabbi Shimon Levi must have been talking about a case where the dangerous creatures are actively chasing you, and therefore you're allowed to kill them for pikuach nefesh on Shabbos. But stam, you see a dangerous creature and it's not coming after you, well then it's got to be one of the five listed in the brisa if you want to kill it in Shabbos. It's got to be super dangerous where it may not be attacking you now, but just having it in the vicinity is sakana enough that you're allowed to kill it on Shabbos. Tanitana kamei derava barafuna ahorig nechashem akrav b'Shabbos ein ruach chasidim noche menu. If a person kills nechashem akrav on Shabbos, the ruach chasidim is not noche menu. Amalei vosim chasidim ein ruach cham noche mehem. Yeah, well those chasidim, the rabbis aren't so happy with them, because you should kill these animals on Shabbos, meaning these are dangerous animals. Is a nachash a dangerous animal? We had a Mishnah in Brachos. No, guy's davening Shemon Esrei and an akrav shows up. So if an akrav shows up, get away. You stop your Shemon Esrei, you get away from the akrav. If a nachash is karuch al akevo, a nachash wraps itself around your heel, so you keep davening Shemon Esrei. So apparently nachash isn't so dangerous. So apparently a nachash, first of all, there are multiple types of nachashim. Some are dangerous, some are not dangerous. Maybe over there it's talking about dafka one that's not dangerous. Others point out, other poskim say that maybe dafka the zchus of the mitzvah that you're in the middle of davening, would the threshold of what's considered dangerous enough to be worried about goes down a little bit when you're in the middle of a mitzvah. Now it's because of shluchim mitzvah and nizakin, even though when it's very shchiyah hazeka, you can't rely on shluchim mitzvah and nizakin, but what's called shchiyah hazeka, the definition might for shchiyah hazeka might change if you're doing a mitzvah, because the mitzvah does have some protective element. Upligad Rav Huna, this is against Rav Huna. Rav Huna chazi lehu gavra to kakatul zibura. Rav Huna saw a guy that was killing a bee. Amalei shalom tinu lekulu. He said, "What? You're going to kill every single one of them? Meaning you can't just go around killing them." Tan rabbanan nizdamnu lenechashim akravim hargan biyadur shenizdamnu lola hargan. If a person has an encounter with nechashim akravim and he kills them, so he should rest assured that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that nechash and akrav come close to him so that he could kill it. Lo hargan, if he didn't kill it, biyadur shenizdamnu lahargo v'nasal. Then you should realize that what that animal was doing there was it was sent to kill you, and you were saved. It was a neis min hashemayim that the person was saved. I don't know my nafkamina whether it was neis min hashemayim to know whether to give hodah. Maybe you have to bench gomel that you know that this animal was there to kill you. Amarula vite miraba barbachana amar Rabbi Yochanan bini shofin bo. That's only if the animal, if the snake was hissing at you, then you know it was really out to kill you, and it was a neis min hashemayim that you weren't killed. Amar Rabbi Abba barbachana. Hamachas nafal echad bebeis hamedrash va'ama niyosi echad v'hargo. He says one time a snake came into the beis medrash and someone got up and killed it. Amar Rebbe pagabo kayotzibo. So he said a snake fell into the beis medrash. Rebbe said about the guy who killed it that the snake was killed by somebody just like it. That the Jew who killed it is a snake also. So yibayilu pagabo kayotzibo the shaper of it. Alo. Does that mean like good? Meaning look, you're even better than the snake. You really showed him who's boss? Or does it mean like as an insult? You're a snake. How could you kill the snake? Tashmad, Rabbi Abba braid Rabbi Chia Baraba, Rabbi Zera, have a yasvi akila de be Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Abba braid Rabbi Chia Baraba and Rabbi Zera were sitting on the porch of Rabbi Yanai, nafak milsami benayu, and they were discussing, Bominim Rabbi Yanai, mau larg nechashim akravim b'shabbos. So they asked Rabbi Yanai, what's the halacha? Are you allowed to kill nechashim and akravim on Shabbos? Amalu, tzira ani horeg, nachash va'akrav lokolshkein. So he said, I would kill a wasp on Shabbos. For sure, nachash and akrav I'd kill on Shabbos. So dilmel fituma, but maybe that's only if you happen to be walking, you're allowed to step on it and kill it. Tamar Avila, rope darsel fituma. If you see saliva on the ground, you're allowed to step on it, lefituma, as you're walking. Vamar Av Sheshas, nachash darsel lefituma. A snake you're allowed to step on as you are walking. Vamar Av Katina, akrav darsel lefituma. An akrav you're allowed to step on as you're walking. Abba Barmar to do Abba Barmar Yumi have a maski, bay de berish kalusa zuzi. He owed money to the resh kalusa. Aisu komitsarele, so they came to beat him up. Have a shadi ruka, there was saliva on the ground. Amalu resh kalusa, aisu manas chifu elave. So the resh kalusa said, bring a kli to cover that roke so no one steps on it. So the guy that was getting beaten up because he owed the money, amalu lotsri chisu. No, you don't need to do that. Hachi amravido, rope darso lefitumo. You can just have people can just walk over it in a normal way. You don't have to cover it with a kli. Amalu hud sumer abanunhu shafku. They said, oh, we didn't realize you're a rabbi, and therefore they let him alone, and they didn't bother him anymore about the money. Okay, we'll stop there.